couple of things I want to talk about this morning. We're going to carry on their sort of series, thinking in and around this growing through giving thought. It comes out of our vision statement, but when we spent some time thinking really deeply about resetting the church a number of years ago, that was one of the things that resonated quite strongly, was growing through giving. It's been my life experience to date to know that when you do give of yourself, you grow and just you get so much more back. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to do that shortly. Something happened last night that sort of challenged and disturbed me in some ways, so I just want to share that a little bit. I wanted to do that when the kids were out. I went to the movies last night, and I watched a film called The Sound of Freedom. Don't know if you've heard of it, seen of it, or whatever. Deals with the really, really difficult and dark subject of child sex slavery. And that's just hard at every level. True story, acted out, shown the reality of what that is, the devastation. But some of the, I don't know, being analytical, I suppose, some of the big numbers just amazed me. There are more children in slavery today than when slavery was legal. It is the biggest business in the world. It's the biggest business. Because you can sell a child and that child can meet so many people's needs, or wants, for want of a better word, for years. You can sell drugs once, that's it. You sell a child and that child can be in that space for years. And that disturbed me. So, yeah, I felt really disturbed about it. As a dad of daughters, it's hardwired into us to protect our families. And I know I speak on behalf of a lot of dads here, that's one of our jobs. And we take that pretty seriously. But the devastation that I saw in that family that was depicted, and that's a true story, was huge. It will be ongoing, it will be lifelong, I suspect. Anyway, it's on at the movies, it's called The Sound of Freedom. It's not an easy watch, but it's real. It's a real story. So I just wanted to share that this morning anyway. I know I've talked to one or two people already, and some people are aware of it, but obviously right around the world, they just want to start a big conversation. They want to start a big conversation about that subject. And as Christians who love the Lord, who value human life and the dignity of human life that God creates, I think we need to be part of that conversation, well and truly. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. In terms of this whole subject of giving, it's not just about money. It's about ourselves. First of all, we are to give ourselves to God. So just in a few minutes, I'm just going to say, hey, in your groups, you can make your own groups. You're all adults. You're allowed to make your own decisions. So you can find yourselves a group, maybe 10, maybe 12, something like that, whatever. And here's the questions that we're going to talk about. What do you think happens to people who give? It's not a trick question. What do you think happens to people who give? And it's not just money. I'm talking about in the biggest possible sense. And I want some Bible verses to back up those statements, so you're going to have to pull your Bibles out and get your Google going and all that sort of carry on. And the opposite of that is what also I want you to talk about. What do you think happens to people who don't give? and some Bible verses to back that up. Okay? You're all adults. Let's dive into a group of, say, I'm going to say sort of like 10-ish, maybe 12-ish, maybe 15-ish, but not 30. So find a group, shift yourselves around, and here's the two questions. What do you think happens to people who give? We're going to do this for about a good 10 minutes, and I want some Bible verses to back that up. What do you think happens to people who don't give? And I want some Bible verses to back that up. If you're an overachiever, you could go on to talk about Bible characters that displayed both of these outcomes. If you're an overachiever, you're welcome to shift some seats around if that's easier. So just unclip them, shift them around. Don't be frightened. Get into it. Alrighty. Just as you are, we are. We'll have a wee debrief. We discussed some questions. What do you think happens to people who give? What were some of the answers that your groups had? Whoever the designated spokesperson is for this group. Heather, fantastic. I always really like that when Heather does things like that. So the question was, what do you think happens to people who give? What was the outcome of your discussions?
Well, sometimes they don't see the blessing in their lifetime, but the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Brilliant.
Give as you're able.
Yes. Like those things. Yeah. Sometimes we will never see the outcome of what we've done, and that's the dynamic of being in God's family and God using broken, sinful human beings. And I read a statement in a commentary based on digging into Revelation, and I read this statement and it resonated with me. He said, there are so many prophecies or statements and promises that are deeply embedded in the Old Testament that they're sometimes that deep that you don't realise they're there. But there is promises there that are going to come to fruition in a day to happen. And I remember something that Pete Ferguson once said to me many years ago. In his mother's veggie garden, they double dug it. And when they double dug this area one time, there were some gorse seeds came to the top and they germinated. Now for the agricultural people that are here, you'll know about gorse. And it's an oil-coated seed and it will stay protected in the soil for a long time. But if in the right conditions, it'll germinate. And I often think that about the promises of God. So yeah, when that's what happens in a person's life. They may not see the outcome, the full outcome of what they've done. Brilliant. Any other thoughts in terms of that one? That's cool. No, that's fine. Go to the back to the groups over that way. Then we'll come into the middle and then go around.
Yeah, well, our group came up with Luke, what was it, 12:16.
Yep. What does it say?
Well, it was about a farmer and he was building another barn or thinking about it because he had nowhere to store his grain. But God said, you know, don't worry about it because you're not going to be here tomorrow. Yeah. So we worked on that. A lot of it in the giving is actually the attitude.
Very important. And as Heather said, God loves a cheerful giver.
Yeah.
Giving it with the right attitude. Brilliant. Love it. Any other thoughts?
That's what we came up with.
Cool. Excellent.
We had the widow's offering too, and she's put in more in the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on.
Mm. Like hot potato, that thing.
Oh, one of the verses that came up here, was, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So what we do results in returns to ourselves.
I always use that concept when I'm trying to sell grass seed to farmers. Excellent. Over the way. Back group. Or who's the designated?
It's over there.
They're so humble they like to give it to everybody else.
I think it was Anne that mentioned the passage about the disciples. Was it Peter saying that we've left everything for you? And Jesus said, here's the verse, I can read it out. We've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? And Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life.
Mm. Yeah. Brilliant. Love that a lot.
Oh, just the bit of discussion we had. We looked at in the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, verses 10, and it talks about bringing all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and proving now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. So specifically related to both questions you asked, those that give, in this sense it would be like tithing, the Lord has promised that you'll receive so many blessings that, you know, you'll not have room to receive it. There'll be so many blessings. So I guess directly related to your question, that's what someone would get if they were to give. For someone who maybe didn't, you know, want to give, was not willing to give, they would probably miss out on these blessings as well as a lot of other opportunities. But that's just some thoughts that me and Shalafala had.
Appreciate that a lot. Thank you. Any coming over this way or other thoughts?
A big thing in my family, I was just discussing YouTube and how everybody films themselves giving. And one thing that we've tried to find the scripture verse for this, but it was in Matthew 6, it's giving to the needy. Mm-hmm. And it was about being, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and doing it in secret, and that it's between you and God when you give. And then Matthew 5 verse 8 was saying that blesses the ones in pure in heart, so he will bless those that give. And Hebrews 13 verse 5 also talks about free from the love of money. And be content with what you actually have as well. So
contentment is so incredibly important, and God can give that regardless of the circumstances.
There's a whole theme that runs through all scriptures, sowing and reaping.
Brilliant. Love that a lot.
We also talked a lot about Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, about bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse and, you know, the Lord opening the floodgates of heaven. You can give a little bit and have a little mustard seed of faith, but when you combine that with other people's efforts, you can achieve a lot of good work for the Lord and, bring immense blessing to other people and also to yourself. You know, when you see the result of that little bit that you gave and see what the Lord does with it, it is a tremendous blessing. I also talked to Weaver about my job as an accountant. I see families with intergenerational wealth. I see the destruction that causes in some of those families, and also the effort that people put in to building that wealth, and they're hustling and making it work for them, and it's their whole life's work. I think a lot about Matthew 16:26, where it says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give? in exchange for their soul.
The value of that.
Yep.
Compared to everything else, what does it matter if you gain the whole world? Every single day I work with multimillionaires. Every single day. And some people have incredible wealth. They also have just the same amount of problems. And they're also incredibly in need of God. Regardless of what they have, if they haven't got God, what have they got? Zero. So, big subject, giving, and that's why I wanted everybody to have some chance to be able to use their God-given wisdom and bring that scripture into those sort of discussions, because God has so much to say to us about this subject. He is the greatest giver. We can never outgive him, never at all. But there is such blessings attached to giving. It's not just money, it's time, it's abilities and things like that. I've asked Josiah to come and just share a little bit of a story, part of his story, just for a few minutes, just talking about giving and growing through that. So just want to hand it over to you, Josiah, just for a couple of minutes to share part of your story. Thanks.
So for those of you who don't know, I'm Josiah, and I'm part of the business committee, basically helping run the finance function of the church. So kind of where the money comes in and where it goes out sort of thing. And how I've kind of been blessed is it's kind of helped me, particularly in my role as an accountant, just with being able to like understand more of how things kind of run operationally day to day. So it's kind of given me a broader understanding of that. And also just the kind of the friends that I've made, particularly amongst the elders and the other members of the business committee, just getting to know people that generally I probably wouldn't like become friends with, but particularly Roger Burt and Charlie Patterson, Turia. It's been great getting to know all of you. So that's kind of how I've been blessed with the time that I'm giving.
One of the few advantages, again, a little bit older, is you see the growth and development of people. And I just appreciated very much how Josiah stepped up and into a new role that we needed help with in terms of the church. And that was using his skill set to serve the church. And when I saw that really being inspired and really encouraged in a young man, I was so impressed that what God's doing in the midst of all of that. So giving is, it's a big subject. And, every one of those discussions were different. There were some similarities, but there was differences. When we give, we are blessed. It is more blessed to give than receive. Jesus said that. He understood because he's the greatest giver. And we will never, ever outgive him. There is promises attached to that. And it's not just that if you give $5 to God, he's going to give you $10. No, don't fall into that trap. Because I've seen people in abject poverty give. And it just so impressed me. If you've been to countries of the world where they've really got not much, and just giving sacrificially and what God's doing in the midst of that just goes, wow. Greed is talked about so often, all through the New Testament. If you did that as a study just on its own, it would dominate so many books of the New Testament. Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Timothy springs to mind. But there is a remedy, and God's given it to us, and that's give. We have opportunity to do that in a financial way. As a church, we are so blessed with so many people who give of their time and their talents, and there is a blessing attached to that. I know what that looks like in my own life, because I spend a fair bit of time in the scriptures getting ready to teach, and generally I work on the premise of about an hour a minute. So every minute I'm standing up here, there's an hour of study behind it, and there's also a lifetime of study behind that. I started studying the scriptures when I was 17 years old. I'm now 60, and I really think that I've successfully scratched the surface. There is just an immensity with God and God's word that I stand in awe of. But in terms of giving, It's a big subject, but I'm delighted with the conversation today. Next week, we've got an opportunity to give in service to our city. There's some sign-up sheets out in the thing. If you haven't done that already, have a good look at it. And if that's you and you can commit to that, then do so. You'll get a blessing out of it, and hopefully other people will too. And more hopefully, God will be blessed out of that. God will be glorified out of that. Giving isn't just about money, it is about our time. We need to do it with the right attitude. God knows that and sees it, because nothing's hidden from his eyes. Not a thing. So be blessed when you give. If you can see an opportunity, be able to use your gifts and abilities, like a little bit what Josiah's doing, using his gifts and abilities to the blessing of other people. If you can do that, then you're going to be blessed as a result of that. And then God will be worshipped and glorified as a result of that in the big family picture view. So I think we should just pause to pray, and then we'll move into the rest of our morning together and have a cup of tea and some fellowship. Thank you for your contribution. It was a delightful buzz going around the groups as people were discussing that pretty grunty question. Father, today we acknowledge just how good you are. Father, I thank you that you know all about the darkness in our world that is tied up with selling and buying of people that are in slavery. And I thank you that the gospel message says that redemption and the blind being made to see and the oppressed being freed. We pray for avenues to be able to change that, but only through your Spirit. And so also we've looked at and thought about the whole question of giving. Thank you that you are the greatest giver. You decided to do that before the world was created. And we stand in amazement of your giving and everything that you have given. Thank you for the salvation that we enjoy, the grace and the mercy that are ours in Jesus Christ. With that kind of freedom, with that kind of assurance, with that kind of blessing in our lives, help us to be a blessing to others as we give of our time, our abilities, our gifts, and our money, so that people might realize and understand there is a God in the universe who loves us and who wants to cause that blessing to be involved with more and more people's lives. And so we ask for that. Thank you for all that you are doing in our midst, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great morning, everyone. Thank you for your contributions. Appreciate that a lot. And enjoy your morning tea and your fellowship time. Thanks.